Hello, and welcome to the Medi-Call Podcast, episode 201. I'm Corey, and here's Daryl.
Yo.
Yo. Welcome back. It's been a couple weeks. We waited just long enough for all the Zendikar spoilers to be dumped on us. Dumped upon us?
Perfect.
Dumped delivered out. To us? Dumped at us.
Provided to us. Given.
Yes. Graciously bestowed upon us. So we're going to do our picks game, obviously. So for those of you that are new to the picks game, it's pretty simple. We decide if we think these cards are going to see play in Modern or Pioneer, and we're going to put our money down where our mouth is. And we'll inscribe our initials in the picks doc, which is a Google spreadsheet that only Daryl and I can see. But when the next spoiler season comes about, we'll tally up our results and see if these cards are seen play in lists that are placing in like 5-0s or any other, you know, tournament published results between now and then. Now, that said,
To be fair, it's not like we can change it. We are on, you know, on tape here.
Yeah, of course.
So, okay, I just wanted to point that out. It doesn't matter if people can't see the document.
Now, I didn't total up our results from Core 21 yet, so I'll have those next week. But we'll find out who won that one. But starting this, we've officially begun season two with Theros Beyond Death because we lost track of who was winning the last batch of like the last eight sets before that. But or by how much? But at this point, Theros, Daryl won Theros. I won Ikoria. Core 21. We don't know.
It's Corey.
You think so?
I don't think it's Corey. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll find out. And here we are with Zendikar. And at the rate we go, I think we'll probably be getting through I think we can get through three colors today. I think we can do white, blue, and black, and then we'll carry this on until to next week. So there you have it. But before we do that, I do need to point out that our wonderful sponsor is ManaTraders.com. You can use the promo code ModernMedical, all one word, no hyphens, for 14% off at checkout. And I would highly recommend you do that because there are lots of wonderful new cards to play with. And God, is Magic the Gathering expensive online these days? If you're interested in playing anything in Jumpstart, for example, or, you know, like maybe the card Uro or anything, you know, just any card that sees play in a constructed deck, you're in for a lot of money. Anything in Modern Horizons? You know, like freaking Seasoned Pyromancer is like $25 a pop for digital objects. Ooh. So, yeah, Mana Traders is a necessary way to play the game, it seems, at this point. So, once again, that is Modern Meta Call, all one word.
All right.
Real quick, before we do this, though, I did have a chance to play on spelltable.com this week. Have you ever done it?
No. Yes, I have.
You have? It is very cool. And spelltable.com, if you have never used it, is like Skype for Commander, specifically for Commander. And it will load up games. It takes like 2 minutes to like create an account. You do not have to pay anything currently, but I know WotC bought it, so they might be charging something at some point. You know how WotC goes. And when you do it, you can like just send a link to your friend and they join your game. And then you can like click on card images and it'll pull up like the image on the screen. So if it's blurry, you can read it. And then you can like pull up Gatherer from there. It's so damn cool. So that's all. Yes. Just a little plug for Spelltable. It's very neat.
Yes, very excellent.
All right, on to the game. If we got to get through three colors, we got to get to it. Yeah?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, Daryl. Have you been following these spoilers?
Nope. This is all new to me.
Okay, I was going to ask you, I guess this question isn't super relevant, but maybe you can think about this as we go through this, is do you think this is a powerful set? And I guess I'll put that question off until we get through blue, white, and black. But my inclination is that we're kind of on the low part of this power curve with this one. However, we've got this brand new mechanic introduced here that we're going to see in just a second that I think is flying under the radar a bit, similar to the companion mechanic a little bit at this point in the game.
Okay.
All right. So in white, we're dealing with Archon of Emyria as the first one. We're not looking at every card, just the ones that I think are likely to see some play. So we're going to discuss. Archon of Emyria is 2W for a creature Archon. It's a rare. It is a 2/3 flyer. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. And it says non-basic lands your opponents control enter the battlefield tapped.
I mean, this is 100% seen play.
In?
Both formats, I think.
All right.
It's just a good bear type effect.
Uh-huh.
Like it's a little worse in modern than Eidolon the Great Rebel, or not Eidolon the Great Rebel. Eidolon of Rhetoric.
Yeah,
because it does have a three toughness. Yeah. But the tap lands thing is big. Stapling both of those effects together, like realistically, this is one of those kind of cards that you could play mainboard in your Aether Vial deck and not feel bad about.
Yep.
Because you still get the big Thalia effect. And then on top of that, if you happen to run into a Storm opponent or relatively unfair deck opponent, this is a thing too.
Yes, this has a hell of a lot going for it. 2/3 is a big deal, but also the fact that it's not a spirit is a big deal. Eidolon of Rhetoric is a powerhouse. 4 toughness absorbs bolts like you've never seen before. It's very hard to kill when your opponent can't. Like, most burn spells deal 3 damage, so if they can only play 1 spell a turn, there are some decks that just literally can't deal with it in the main deck. They have to, like, board into roast type stuff. So yep. This one is, like, very main deck killable compared to that.
Yes.
But the other upside of Rhetoric being a spirit, like, gives it, like, the hexproof ability with, like, Drogskull Captain and, like, Rattle Chains. So that's another advantage. But the fact that this has got that non-basic lands enter tapped, and it's, like, a flying 2/3, like, this is an aggressive creature. That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, the flying line of text was just, like, something I glanced over. But, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, this thing is, this still see play in some Death and Taxes. I think maybe, like, a 2/2 of or something. It's not, like, a full 4 of just because it's still a 3 drop, but... definitely a good card. I see it in both formats as well. Okay, so this is all new to you then, huh, Daryl?
All new.
All right, so this will be interesting because...
Let me be honest. There's one card out of this I know because of a Discord I'm on, but other than that, it's all new to me.
Okay, cool. Well, that gives us a very unique perspective on this then. So the next card will be very hard for you to evaluate without other information, and that is Archpriest of Iona, and that is 1 white for a creature human cleric. It's a rare. Its power is equal to the number of creatures in your party, and your party consists of up to 1 each of cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard. Now, again, this is a human cleric, so it can fill either one of those roles. It says, at the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, target creature gets +1/+1 and gains flying until end of turn.
I have to find this damn card on this list.
It's kind of a soup of stuff. Now, this whole thing is like this Dungeons & Dragons inspired, like, incentivizes you to have representation of cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard in your party on the board. But most of the party matters cards, like, you don't need all of those representations to actually get benefits. Like, they reduce cost for, like, each of the party members that you have. Obviously, this guy gets bigger for the party members. But then, if you max out, then the +1/+1 of flying kicks in, and this guy can be dealing, like, 6 damage.
So it's a 2-drop? 5
damage, I should say. It is a 1-drop.
It's a 1-drop. Okay, yeah. I was looking for a 2-drop. I mean, this card sounds very powerful. The problem I have with it is, like, how easy is it going to be to fill the party? Like, because this is as you said, it's an X1.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can get 3 party members, then, like, it's better than Savannah Lions. But, like, it by itself is 1. You have to play another. You have to have another creature in play for it to be a Savannah Lions, which, I mean, as an aggressive deck, more likely than not, you're going to have Savannah Lions in your deck or multiple creatures in play. So like, unless you're getting beat up on,
yeah.
So I feel like this thing is fine, but am I really? I mean, so like, the problem is, like, the only other commonplace creature type I see in a deck that this goes into is, like, Warrior. So, like, the best thing it's going to be is a 2/2. So it can be Isamaru if you have a second thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and let me just say, Daryl, without looking at the rest of the spoiler, you're looking at this in the right lens because there really isn't enough, like, other party matters stuff to, like, you know, to support a party deck. This is, like, probably the most aggressive look at the party stuff. And the rest of it is kind of, like, limited stuff and, like, potentially like a standard like tier two deck, the party thing is really kind of goofy, and I don't think it's very strong.
So here's the thing I thought of, and I think it might be able to see play in modern humans.
Yeah.
If humans is willing to take a more aggressive slant and cut Noble Hierarch. Because Freebooter is a rogue. Meddling Mage is a wizard.
Freebooter is not. It's a pirate.
Oh, it's a pirate? That's stupid. Yeah. Okay, so I thought Meddling it was a rogue. Mage
is a wizard.
And I would assume there's some number of warriors. Or are they soldiers?
Oh, yeah, I think soldiers. So it's really tough. I think you'd have to really do some research on this guy, but you probably could pair it with like one or two other creature types and make it work. And it's probably some kind of zoo deck, but you're not likely getting a full party, are you?
Yeah, I just don't think this is good enough. Like, this is, I think, the best one I can see. The fact that it requires creatures to be in play, like, and changelings don't count for all the types at once. Yeah. I don't know. So, like, if changelings counted for all the types, you could pair this thing with, like, Mutavault, and all of a sudden it's a 5/3 flyer.
Yeah.
Like, if it's, I mean, if that's how it works, then this card could definitely see play in.
No,
in some of these forms.
Yeah, it would count as whichever one you want it to, but it would only represent like one other one.
Okay, perfect. I was gonna say, because if you could just fire up Mutavault and make this thing a 5/3 flyer on turn two, like that would be bananas, and this card would be extremely good.
But that said, Mutavault would be definitely a player in that deck, right? Because it would, you know, it'd be that last piece.
So I can see this possibly being Pioneer playable. I'm so hesitant to buy it. I don't want to buy it.
Just
but like,
yeah, let it go. We'll move on. I'm not going to buy it either. But I think this is, of all the party cards, I think this is the one that has the most potential.
Okay.
That's so fair. So here's the next one, and this is where we get into that mechanic that I was referring to. Amiria's Call is a mythic, and Amiria's Call is one of these double-faced cards. All of these double-faced cards are lands on the backside, and there are two variations on them. One of them is a land that just comes into play tapped. It doesn't have a basic land type. It's just tapped, and it produces like a white, a black, a blue, whatever, right? So the mythic cycle of them are lands that either come into play tapped, or you can pay 3 life for them to come into play untapped, and they produce that color mana. So this is one that does that. It comes into play untapped for 3 life and produces white. Or on the other side of it, it's a sorcery. And the sorcery is a 4 white, 7 mana. Create 2 4/4 white angel warrior creature tokens with flying. Non-angel creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. Until your next turn, excuse me.
Yeah. It's just too expensive on the front side. Like, if this was 5 mana, make 2/4 flyers that did this, I would be 100% in. But I just don't think this is playable in either format.
But the question is, like, is the opportunity cost of just, like, putting it in your land slot and having, like, a comes-into-play tapped land that could come into play untapped low enough to just have this as an endgame, like, as a one-of?
I mean, maybe. Like, this is, like, your flood mitigation card?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a finisher. You know, it could be, like, your one kill spell, you know? It's a sorcery in your graveyard. You could snapcaster it back, even.
I'm not interested in this in Modern. This is, like, Pioneer only in my mind.
Yeah.
If this is playable. I just think it's too many mana.
Sure, it's a lot of mana. But it's a land, you know? It's a land that, like... Like, so, like, it's a bad land, right?
You definitely cannot play this in Modern, because like lightning bolting yourself for a plains is wholly unreasonable.
Yeah.
So like the question is, like, is Pioneer a format where this is playable?
Yeah.
I don't know. The answer is yes.
Okay. Well,
like all your finishers in Pioneer are just better than 7 mana make 2/4 indestructibles.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not even destructible because it's not angel creatures.
No, not angel creatures. Yeah,
it's like 7 mana make 2/4. So this is not good enough.
That part's weird. That part doesn't seem to like really belong on there, to be honest with you.
I would have expected angel creatures you control to be indestructible, but
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I think it's just like flavor, like the angels come and like, you know, save your non-angels or whatever.
Sure.
I have a hard time passing on these ones. I'm going to pick it for Pioneer at the very least. I just feel like this mechanic is, it just seems like companion to me, where it's like, you might as well include it because the cost to do so is so low. Yes, you have a land that comes into play tapped, but the upside of having like a 7-mana spell when you're like flooding out that just wins the freaking game is like so huge.
This doesn't really win the game though. It just gives your opponent like 2/4/4. It just gives you 2/4/4s.
Yeah.
Like,
that's great.
Like, I'm not interested in hard casting and treat the angels for 2/4/4s.
You are if you're both in top deck mode and everyone's just like drawing lands, you know?
Well, no, I'm interested in casting it for like 5/4/4s. Then it's like, if I'm in top deck mode, that's a relevant thing.
Sure.
But like 2/4/4s for 7 mana, like you're never really interested in casting Entreat for like full price.
But you don't get to choose if your Entreat is a land in the early game. You think about how bad your Entreat is in the opening hand, right? Like if you draw a hand that's like 6 non-lands in a land, and one of those non-lands is an Entreat, wouldn't you rather that Entreat was like a potential, like, comes into play tap planes?
Sure. I mean, I'm going to pass on this, but I don't think this is good enough.
Okay. I do agree that this one is probably one of the weaker ones. In fact, I think the mythic cycle of these cards is probably the weakest cycle of them all. The rare cycle is really strong, and some of the uncommons are even more exciting to me. Well, let's move on. I'm picking it for Pioneer. Felidar Retreat is up next. I think this card's pretty cool. 3 and a white for an enchantment. It has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, choose one. Create a 2/2 white cat beast creature token. Or put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Those creatures gain vigilance until end of turn.
I mean, I think this is certainly playable in Pioneer. I don't think we're doing it in Modern, but like, I mean, I guess this is basically Gavinny, functionally Gavinny Township in Modern, right? Because, like, all your lands are Gavinny Townships that give your creatures vigilance. Like, is that might be something that your, like, creature toolbox decks are interested in, right? Like, because they just have so many, like, mana dorks laying around. Is this thing? I don't know. I'm asking you as the creature's toolbox wizard.
I don't really get the Gavinny comparison just because you're paying 4 mana for this card.
No. It turns all your lands into add a 1/1 counter for each one to one of your creatures.
Yeah.
So, like, you play a land and you get a Gavinny Township effect if you choose to do so.
Yeah. I don't,
so, like, is that effective enough on landfall to play in your creature toolbox deck? Because, like, then you, in late game, every one of your fetch lands turns into 2+1/+1 counters on all your creatures.
Yeah, it would be very strong. I think more importantly, like, all your fetch lands turn into 2 cat beasts. Like,
yeah, I mean, whichever one you need.
This is one of those cards to me that like is like a deck that plays to the board against a deck that has like a bunch of wrath spells, like a bunch of mass removal spells, would board into like a Felidar Retreat and then just have like creatures for days and just like overwhelms their counter spells. But the problem is like control decks these days with like their Teferis and stuff, they do so much against enchantments that it like that trick doesn't really work anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's why you're guaranteed to get a 2/2 off of this.
Yeah.
So like you play it. If you sequence correctly, you're guaranteed to at least get 1/2/2 because you're playing this and then playing a land.
Yeah.
And if it's Fabled Passage or Field of Ruin, you happen to play, you're probably getting, you know, or Fabled Passage, you're getting a second land, a fetch land, you're getting a second cat. Ghost, you know, Field of Ruin, not so much. You have to have the 2 mana available. But yeah, so like, I feel like this is a fine card for Pioneer, 100%. So the question we're debating is it good enough in Modern? And I don't know. Gavinny Township has proven to be like a very strong thing. And enchantments are still not easy to remove. And so like having your 4 mana investment one time turn all your lands into Gavinny Townships instead of having to do a 5 mana investment on a land you hope doesn't die, I feel like I guess the land is just better because it doesn't take up a turn of your time, but like I feel like this also might be Modern playable because of its modality.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that.
I'm gonna buy it in both formats.
You are? Okay. I'm gonna I'll buy in Pioneer. not modern, though I am tempted. I definitely want it for Commander. If that counts.
Oh, yeah. This is a very good thing. Yeah. If we're talking about Commander cards, I definitely want that 7-mana spell, probably.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just deleted one off our list. I don't think we need to talk about that one. I changed my mind. So if you're following on the doc. Legion Angel is up next. This one I think is just interesting.
That card's terrible.
Yeah.
Like you're not putting this thing in your sideboard. So let me read it. It's a 4-mana 4/3 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, you can reveal a card you own, namely Legion Angel, from outside the game, put it in your hand. So if this was Squad Trunk, where you could go get them all, like maybe you can convince me that you're playing some number of Legion Angels in your sideboard. But like then you have to draw the Legion Angel to get access to your other Legion Angels, which Squadron Hawk worked out fine because you put all 4 of them in your deck. You drew one, you have to get the other 3. This one is like, so you play 3 of these in your deck, you play 1, and you go get the 4th one. I mean, are you willing to give up a sideboard slot for a 4/3 flyer?
Yeah, probably not. I don't think it does enough. And statistics, stat-wise, I should say, is not impressive. 3 toughness is kind of embarrassing. For 4-mana.
So we're in the same place on that one, but just wanted to
summarize. I wanted to bring it up though, because I thought by design it was interesting. We haven't seen this type of mechanic being used much.
No, we haven't.
All right, Ondu Inversion. I like this one a lot. This is the rare.
I'm definitely slamming this one in Pioneer. It's a 6 white-white, destroy all non-land permanents, with the modality of being coming to play tap planes, I believe. I can't see the back of it.
Yeah, not a planes, just a land that produces white.
I mean, functionally planes. It only taps for white.
So this is really powerful. This is a one of at the minimum in control decks, maybe a 2 of. I think just a 1 of.
I'm playing a couple of these, if not 3. Like, you're definitely interested. Like, it depends on how many lands you expect to have in your deck. Like, you could play 3 of these and cut a planes or whatever.
Yeah.
So that you have 3 of these things. Like, if you were going to play 1, I would play 1 more and cut a planes. In Pioneer. Because this effect in control is so big. Like, beating planeswalkers and enchantments and stuff is so important in your control deck. So, like, being able to do that effectively is huge.
But how does control win, though? Control wins with planeswalkers now. And so you're killing all your own planeswalkers off when you cast this.
I mean, realistically, you also probably have some number of useful lands. Like, you have a couple of Castle Arden Vales or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to pick this one in Modern and Pioneer.
Going to see play in Modern.
What?
You think it's going to see play in Modern, really?
Yeah, I do. Once again, I mean, opportunity cost low, effect huge. Like, this is about as big as it gets, you know? Like the difference between drawing a land off the top of your deck and drawing a destroy all non-land permanents off the top of your deck, like...
Pretty large.
You can't ask for much more than that. So I think that there's a deck out there that would be interested in turning their late game draws into destroy all non-land permanents. And it might just be that one of those decks is like a Field of Ruin deck. You know what I mean?
Field of Ruin or Field of the Dead?
Sorry, Field of the Dead. One of those types of decks that's like, I don't really play to the board much, and like, I also don't really care if I lose like 10 zombie tokens, because I'll just play like more lands and like get more zombie tokens. And I can realistically cast this 8-mana spell pretty early on. So I don't know. I think this is yet another land with a different name. Like, there's green white Field of the Dead decks out there that would not have a hard time of playing Ondu Inversion. So there, that's my pick. Okay, you're picking in just Pioneer though, Daryl. Yes,
just Pioneer.
Okay, Skyclave Apparition is up next. 1 white-white core spirit. Oh yeah, rare. It's a 2/2. Enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target non-land, non-token permanent you don't control with converted mana cost 4 or less. When it leaves the battlefield, the exiled card's converted. The exiled card's owner creates an XX blue illusion creature token where X is the converted mana cost of the exiled card.
All right, so this is the card I knew existed.
Because all of the Soul Herder server that I'm on has been losing their goddamn minds over it.
Yes.
So Soul Herder just won the challenge this weekend.
Oh, did it? Oh, nice.
Yeah, it won the Sunday challenge.
Yes, good.
And so, but like, this thing is like, people are like, oh, you're going to replace Knight of Autumn with this and this card with this. It's a two of, it's a four of, it's a three of.
Yeah.
This card is very good. Like, so for spirits, Corey, I know you're a huge spirits fan.
Yes.
It's untargetable. It's untargetable. It's creature removal for all the creature based removal for all the absolute nonsense garbage that spirits would have trouble with, like Teferi of Hearthstone or, you know, various random planeswalker. That's why I call it Teferi Time Revo now, because your opponent is playing Hearthstone.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah.
But like, you know, it just removes all of the absolute bullshit nonsense. We could swear on this podcast. I forgot. Yeah, it removes all the absolute. It removes all the absolute bullshit nonsense that you could never beat before.
Yeah. It's great, and it makes a token that doesn't have flying, so you don't care.
Yeah, it makes a pretty irrelevant token for spirits.
I mean, this guy doesn't have flying, but okay.
Yeah, the Soul Herder deck cares a little more about the token, but like not much more. Mm-hmm. But like being able to eat up like early prowess creatures, and then when you blink it, or have a 1/1 instead of your prowess creature, yeah. Or like have a 2/2 instead of your Tarmogoyf. That's way more manageable, you know. Like it eats things and trades with the tokens if you kill like Aether Vials and stuff like that. It goes to eats things and eats the token. It trades with two things. It kills Cloythus and Liliana and all that nonsense. Like,
yeah,
it's just a big game.
Yeah, kills Cloythus. Yeah, it gets the. Oh man, I didn't think of that stuff. Yeah, it's cool. The spirits deck goes between like Deputy of Detentions, Reflector Mages, Knight of Autumns, and like all of, you know, the typical 3-drop removal creatures. And it just seems like this one's a shoo-in for that type of spot. Now, granted, those cards will still be included in the sideboards because there are going to be some specific things you need to hate out that this doesn't do very well. But the fact that this is a spirit is a big plus.
What are they? Please tell me. I do not know.
I mean,
like Primeval Titan is so like the two things I figured out on when we were talking about on the Soul Herder were Primeval Titan, Batterskull. Those are the only two cards I can think of.
Yeah, I suppose. Batterskull is a big one. I mean, you can't get the germ either, right?
No, it is a token, so you cannot eat this.
But I suppose that's pretty narrow, isn't it? I'd probably still want some number of Knight of Autumn, though.
I mean, yeah, Knight of Autumn games life. I'm definitely in the camp, because like Soul Herder players like cut all your Nine Autumns, cut all your, you know, people weren't even playing Reflector Mages, cut all your Reflector Mages. I'm like, I'm still interested in having Knight of Autumn, but I might want like two of this guy, you know, like two of this and a Knight of Autumn for some life gain, and like I'd be happy there.
Okay, so we're taking this in both formats then.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the Modern where we're obviously obsessed with it, like it's just a good creature that removes things. It combines well with things like Charming Prince and Flicker Wisp.
Yeah.
Like, well, stuff. It's
there's Cocoa Charming Spirits in Pioneer too.
Yeah, absolutely. But worth noting, this is also going to see play in the Antaxes decks, because you can like this thing dies and you can just eat their token with Flicker Wisp. So like you essentially use your friends to get rid of their super powerful thing.
Like
this card is just a shoo-in in every format that white creatures are played in, I think.
Now I wonder if originally this illusion token was one of those illusions that like got targeted and died like every other illusion, and they realized it was just too powerful and had to like dial it back a little bit, because I've never known an illusion not to just die when you look at it. You know what I mean? Like all the other illusions in the game.
if this thing was an illusion that died when you looked at it, that would be brutal. Like
I bet it was, honestly. Anyways, okay, so we're moving on. That's the end of the white cards for today. We're on to blue. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for blue.
All right, the first one is a common, Anti-Cognition. It is one in blue for an instant. Counter target creature or planeswalker spell unless its controller pays 2. If an opponent has 8 or more cards in their graveyard, instead counter that spell, then scry 2. So
That's not bad.
Conditional, but there's like more support for the like if you've milled your opponent enough stuff. Like Drown in Sorrow is the blue black.
Drowned in the Lock.
Drowned in the Lock, yeah. So I really like Drowned in the Lock, but I was always nervous about playing it because I was confused about whether or not I was supposed to be targeting myself or my opponent with my Thought Scours. I don't like to target my opponent in Modern with those things because, you know, most people use their graveyard in Modern. But there's a point where it's like, maybe I just want to be doing that because there's enough stuff that cares about my opponent's graveyard being huge. And I just have to have some way to prevent them from using it, like Gravedigger's Cage in the main or Surgicals. I don't know. But this maybe doesn't belong in Modern. I don't know.
I don't think this is good enough for either format. Like, it's good because over the course of time, it just becomes a hard counter.
Yeah.
Because theoretically, decks that are playing this is like, all right, this is miscalculation early. That, like, also over the course of time, just becomes a two mana hard counter.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe this is Pioneer playable. I'll buy it for Pioneer because people are playing Essence Scatter. And this is Essence Scatter that can also target Planeswalkers.
Yes. Yeah. And then it has the upside of Scrying, which is a very non-zero addition.
I mean, just being able to tag your opponent's turn three Teferi with this card and have it be useful against Essence Scatter,
yeah,
it's like very good.
Well, the matches where Essence Scatter is dead, this card is still alive because they're going to have walkers, right?
Yeah, that's why I buy it for Pioneer.
Okay, same. I'm not interested in it in Modern, I don't think. But Pioneer. No. Okay, keep in rolling here so we don't run out of time. We are going to anyway. Confounding Conundrum is a rare. One in a blue. When Confounding Conundrum enters the battlefield, draw a card. It's an enchantment, sorry. When a land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, if that player had another land enter the battlefield under their control this turn, they return a land they control to its owner's hand.
So it slows down fetch lands.
Amulet Titan.
Fetch lands and ramp, yes. Mm-hmm. My main focus was fetch lands. So, like, is this a card that you want to bring out of your sideboard for Titan, or are you more interested in something like Ashiok?
I am more interested in Ashiok. This card is too narrow, I think.
Okay. I mean, so, like, you could play this main board and say, all right, I'm going to just try and hose fetch land decks and, like, have that be a thing. But, like, because it cantrips, so it replaces itself. Yeah. I just don't think it's good enough.
It does say an opponent's control, so you can still play fetch lands yourself. I mean, Ashiok similarly does that.
Yeah, I just don't think this is good enough.
I don't know. I think it is good enough. Happening a turn earlier than Ashiok, I think, is really important. Though I was always worried about Ashiok being too slow, and Ashiok is extremely effective. Like, Ashiok is just like a complete hoser for like Scapeshift and Titan decks. In a lot of cases, like, they have those nut draws where they can just go off before you can resolve Ashiok, but when they don't, Ashiok just crushes them. So
yeah, it's just the end of the game. Yeah,
but this I like this one. I think I'm gonna pick this one for Modern.
Okay, I will stand on the sideline on this one.
Okay, Deliberate. Deliberate is one in a blue, instant speed, preordain.
This one's really close, man.
So the question is kind of like, if you've got like a cost reducer, like in Storm in Modern, do you play this? Because with, you know, Goblin Electromancer or Baral, instant speed preordain is pretty good.
I mean, let's talk about this versus Opt.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Miracles? Good enough to dethrone Opt in what decks? ? Like, not like, I don't think Death Shadow is even playing Opt, so no. But like, in decks that play Opt, is this good enough to be better than Opt? Because this is fixed preordain 100%. Like, I think that they designed a perfect card here. Because I look at it and I go, I know how good preordain is. It's too good.
Yeah.
I look at this card. It's preordain. It's preordained. It's one mana more, but it's an instant, so I can fit it in. I'm interested. I'm my interest has been piqued.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's like, is this good? Is this the line that's good enough? Is it better than the frantic inventory card? Like, are we more interested in just having preordains than having like potential, you know, potential AKs? Like, what is the line here? And this is actually a really tough one for me. I'm kind of up in the air on it.
Well, consider that Omen of the Seas is a card.
Yeah, it is.
Like, the difference is
Forgot about that card.
I mean, the difference, but there is a difference, because Omen of the Seas is an enchantment. This card can be flashed back.
Yeah. So
I do think that Pioneer is probably more interested in Omen of the Seas, because the Pioneer decks are like Yorion based.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And like, but then there's also Teferi. So Teferi can bounce Omen of the Seas.
Yeah.
And that's played in both formats. So then it's a toss up. I don't know. I mean,
I think I'm going to pass on it, because I forgot that Omen of the Sea was just remotely a Magic card.
Yeah.
But, like, this is, here it is. This is preordained, like, perfected right here.
Yeah.
For, like, what Wizards is okay with being in Magic. But, yeah, I just, I can't do it because Omen of the Sea. Because Omen of the Sea also has upside of, like, also, you can just randomly scry two later.
Yeah.
And it's just not seeing play. So, all right, I'm out on this, but like, it's so close.
Yeah, it's probably, honestly, it probably will see a little bit of play in decks that are more interested in instants over the enchantment. But you know, I don't know that it's enough to like be consistent to post results. Okay, Glasspool Mimic. I like this one a lot. I think this is the sleeper pick in this set here. Two and a blue, creature shapeshifter rogue. You may have Glasspool Mimic enter the battlefield as a copy of a creature you control, except it's a shapeshifter rogue in addition to its other types. It's a clone for your own creatures for 3 mana, but it can flip. It's a dual face card. It can flip into a tapped blue land.
It's not a human.
Not a human.
That makes it really hard for me to want to put into, like... So it doesn't get the types, which is the problem for me. Like, it does, so... Oh, no, it's in addition to its other types. Okay, so it does get the types.
Yeah.
So, like, Phantasmal Image is just better in humans.
Because
it's 2 mana, and all your humans are 2 mana, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, like, Vile. Like, this could see potentially play, but 3 mana is so many in the humans deck, and it kind of messes up your Vials. So, like... Is Merfolk interested in another 3 mana lord? I just don't know what deck wants this. That's why I'm confused. Like, okay. It seems like a good card, but
let me tell you something. Think about these cards like Waterlogged Grove or Horizon Canopy, where you play these lands that you're like, well, sometimes I need a land, but sometimes I need something else. So like, I'm willing to like take this cost of like paying life sometimes, because I'm playing like Aether Vials and Collected Companies, and like sometimes I have like these 4 mana spells, but sometimes I have like these really aggressive starts where I just like play creature, and I just tempo out. Like Glasspool Mimic does this, right? Like Glasspool Mimic is like early on, like I can play like Aether Vial on 1, I can put a tapped land into play on 2, and I have access to like 4 mana for like a Collected Company when it's appropriate in, say, like Spirits, for example. Or say sure. I can like have a 3-drop to put in with my Aether Vial with Merfolk. Or if I am desperate for a land, like this guy is a freaking island. So you could like cut 2 lands and play like 4 clones in place of 2 lands. And okay, they're Coco targets. They're Coco hits. You increase your creature count for Coco.
But they can't copy the other creature that comes in. Because they come in at the same time.
Oh, well, I surely hope you have creatures on the board when you're casting Collected Company in a creature deck, right?
Like, I mean, not always. Sometimes Collected Company is your catch-up. Like, you're like, oh, I just got Wrath, Collected Company.
But those decks are already doing this, though, Daryl. It's not like this is a new concept. Like, they're already playing, like, Phantasmal Image in Spirits decks, you know?
Okay, sure.
So, like, you cut Phantasmal Image from Spirits, you can get rid of some of the lands, and you can play Glasspool Mimic in its place. And then you've got your Drogskull Captain set up with this guy.
You just play 2 more spells?
Yeah, you can cut some of the lands. Like, that deck floods out and dies. Now you've got a clone. You never clone your opponent's creatures.
All right, I mean, you've convinced me. All right, I'll buy.
I mean, I think this guy is really good. It is... like the pre-orders are like $3 for the extended art right now, and I think that this, they're expecting this set to be opened like crazy, but I feel like there's potential for like this card to be like the one where we're like, oh shit, these dual face cards are like OP.
All right, I mean, this is the Luris. You've convinced. I don't know if that's an egregious statement, but you've convinced me that this is playable in both formats.
You heard me say it. This is the Luris.
Not Luris. 0% gets banned in either format.
I don't think it'll get banned, but it's gonna be the poster child of this flippy face thing.
Sure. All right. I'll buy in both formats. I was really struggling to see, like, I was like, man, is the illusion part of Phantasmal Image really so bad that you would want to pay a third mana for it? That's kind of where I was at. But
I don't think this is going to usurp Phantasmal Image. And Luris is egregious because, like, Luris sees play in, like, every deck. Like, this is very specific to a certain style of deck, but I think it's impactful enough where it's like, wow, that's really strong where it can be played, is my point.
Sure.
Okay. Jace Mirror Mage is next. This one's weird. One blue for a 4 loyalty Jace, but it has kicker too. When Jace Mirror Mage enters a battlefield, if Jace was kicked, create a token that's a copy of Jace Mirror Mage, except it's not legendary and has starting loyalty 1. Its +1 is Scry 2. It's pretty good, actually. Its 0 is draw a card and reveal it. Remove a number of loyalty counters equal to that card's converted mana cost from Jace Mirror Mage.
Yep.
What?
I mean, this card is just playable, I think, in both formats.
You think so?
Yeah. So, like, maybe it's not playable in Modern, but I'm going to buy it for both formats. Just because, like, with Kicker, it essentially gives you 2 objects to, like, mess with your opponent with. And, like, it gives you a lot of fun decisions on, like, which Jace do you plus? Do you plus the one loyalty one? And then 0 the 4 loyalty one, or like go back and forth, or if you've already set up the top of your deck, or you're just willing to gamble with your one loyalty Jace, you can just like 0 it immediately, hope to hit a land and not die, and then like 0 the other Jace and hope to hit a not 4 drop and die, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're doing that, then it's like if you just get double unlucky, it's 5 mana draw 2 cards, which is underrated.
Yeah,
but like if you get double lucky or like even single lucky, you're realistically probably able to draw a third card, and your opponent probably puts some damage on it if that's not the case. So like, I feel like this is good enough. I definitely think it's good enough for Pioneer. I just Modern, I'm questioning, but I'm gonna buy it and kind of stick to my guns on this one.
It's kind of like 3 mana for a plane, like a kind of fringy planeswalker will like kicker to draw an extra card, right? Like that's probably how that's gonna go down. So there's like notably a combo with it in Standard, like quote unquote combo. Teferi's Ageless Insight is a 4 mana enchantment that says if you would draw a card except the first one you draw on each of your draw steps, draw 2 cards instead. So then rather than that 0 effect, you don't have to remove the loyalty counters, you don't even have to reveal it. So with your Jace, Mirror Mage, and your copy, you would just be drawing 2 cards each without removing loyalty.
Oh, okay.
So kind of interesting. I don't know if that's like a thing that anyone's interested in really assembling, but it's possible. I'm going to pick this one in Pioneer, but not in Modern.
All right.
Okay, next up is Jawari Disruption. And Jawari Disruption is...
Nope. It's a sensor that can be a tapped island.
Yep.
This card is not better than sensor.
Okay, good. Then let's keep on moving. I will not pick it either. Maddening Cacophony is up next. Maddening Cacophony is 1 in a blue for a sorcery. Each opponent mills 8 cards. If this spell was kicked, the kicker is 3 in a blue. Instead, each opponent mills half their library rounded up.
Is mill a thing in Pioneer?
I don't think so. But it could be, because there's like probably we're reaching critical mass and there is another crab in this set. There's a Hedron crab.
There's no fetch lands to make the crab good. It's like to make the crab pretty effective. I don't think this sees play in Modern at all. Like I think the mill spells in Modern are just so much better pretty than set. This.
Yeah, you typically don't reach 6 mana in Modern mill, so it's unlikely that you're going to get the traumatized version.
Well, the thing about it is, by the time you reach six mana in Modern Mill, realistically, they probably have less, like half of their deck is probably less than eight cards.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. All right, let's keep going. I don't want that one either. Merfolk Wind Robber. This art is really cool, for one. It is one blue for a Merfolk Rogue. It's a 1/1 flyer. When it deals combat damage to a player, that player mills a card. You can sacrifice Merfolk Wind Robber to draw a card. Activate this ability only if an opponent has eight or more cards in their graveyard.
I don't think this is that good.
No, it's like... It's just kind of unique, I thought. And it's a rogue, so there is becoming some rogue support, and I think it's worth noting that this is a rogue that can connect pretty reasonably. And so we're not there yet, but if we continue to see rogues printed, we might get there. Like, the Prawl cards are real.
Yes.
But moving on. Ruin Crab is the Hedron Crab, and this one definitely is going to see play in Modern Mill, but like you said, there are no fetch lands in Pioneer. One blue for a 0/3 crab. Landfall: when a land enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent mills three.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed more crabs, but we got them.
Yeah, I think Modern only. I don't think, like, people might try and make Mill happen in Pioneer. I'm not going to buy it, though, on the chance that somebody tries to make Mill happen. So. Yeah.
Though, you know what? I am going to buy this one in Pioneer. Or does it say opponent?
Opponent, yeah. Oh, it's each shit. Opponent.
Never mind. I will not buy it in Pioneer. Okay. If it was self-mill, it'd be great. Correct. Okay. Seagate Stormcaller is next. One in a blue for a 2/1 human wizard. It's a mythic. It has kicker, 4 in a blue. When it comes into the battlefield, copy the next instant or sorcery spell you with converted mana cost 2 or less. If it was kicked, copy that spell twice.
I don't think you're kicking this very often.
No. What do you really want to double with this guy? This guy seems really underwhelming to me.
I mean, it's basically front end Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah, it seems shitty. I don't care.
No, I mean, it's just Snapcaster Mage for spells in your hand. So, like, it gives you this the double up effect on the front end instead of the back end.
Yeah.
So, like.
So you can, like, bolt them twice?
You could bolt them twice from your hand. Like, name a one mana spell, it does that. I think this will see. Yeah, Thoughtseize twice, Inquisition twice. There's just not good 2 CMC spells, like 2 CMC or less spells in Pioneer. Like, Thoughtseize is in Pioneer, Fatal Push, Assassin's Trophy, and Abrupt Decay. Like, you know, you're in a very specific deck at that point. Eliminate is a good card, but it's all kind of black. I'll buy some Pioneer just because there are a few very, very good spells that you can cast with this thing. But I just don't think... Yeah, I would agree with you that I don't know if Modern is the place to be for this guy.
I hate this card. I don't want it in either format. I think it's stupid. I think it's supposed to look like a Snapcaster Mage, and it is far from it. It just
requires you think it's a goofy setup. You think it's it's Trapcaster Mage?
It's Trapcaster Mage. Yeah, it is. It's like... Oh, I could use this bolt right now and do the correct thing and kill this creature that's attacking me, or I could wait till turn 3 and do something really cute and, like, take a bunch of damage in the process.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Solundi Vision is next. It's 2 and a blue for an instant. It says, look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal an instant or sorcery card from among them and put it in your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order, but it's on. It's a flip blue land. It's an instant. 2 and a blue.
That's a lot of cards, too.
Yeah, top 6. Look at the top 6. So it reminds me of, like, what's that sideboard card that Storm plays that gets 2 cards? This obviously gets 1. Pieces of the puzzle. So it gets only 1 card, but it's, like, a land, you know, when you need it. So Storm seems to be one of those decks that could just flood.
I think this is Pioneer playable. I'm not too excited about it in Modern.
No. I'm gonna pick it in both. I think at least for, like, those combo decks, decks, they're interested.
Land or is it instant or sorcery?
Instant or sorcery.
I'm gonna pass on it.
Ad Nauseam or something. What do you think of that? I mean, that deck has a lot of artifacts, though, doesn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, it does. I'm gonna pass on it.
Okay.
And its win condition is a creature.
Yeah. Thieving Skydiver is the last blue card. One in a blue for a 2/1 flying merfolk. We keep getting flying merfolk in this set. It has kicker X. When it enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, gain control of target artifact with converted mana cost X or less. If that artifact is an equipment, you may attach it to Thieving Skydiver. This is going to be sick in EDH for stealing Soul Rings. Let me just say that. But
it also steals Mana Crypts.
X can't be zero. Sorry, X can't be zero.
But
you can pay one. Yeah, you can. Yeah. But you're right. It does steal Mana Crypts.
Yeah, it steals them. It's. I don't think it's gonna be playable in either format until a like big artifact comes in.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be enough.
I'm just wondering if this is like a sideboard merfolk card. Do they care about this kind of stuff?
No.
Okay.
The thing they need to steal is a 3-mana artifact, like it's a blue red sword or like a batter skull. Like, there's no way they have enough mana for that.
Okay.
So I have one more entrant for Pioneer only.
Yeah.
Which is. Print.
Yeah.
Into the Royal.
Oh yeah.
One of the blue instant. It was an original Zendikar.
Yeah, but new to Pioneer.
Oh, it is because it is, but it isn't. There's like one that's like eyes or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Is the Pioneer one. So they reprinted Into the Royal, which you can target your own permanents with.
Oh, gotcha.
Don't use this particular element.
Okay.
So if Blink of an Eye is playable, Into the Royal is playable. I don't know if Blink of an Eye is being played. Blink of an Eye is being played in Modern or Pioneer, so just thought I'd bring it up.
Okay, so you're picking that or no?
No, I'm going to pass on it. I talked myself out of it.
All right, you think we can get through black in like 10 minutes?
Yeah, let's jam.
All right, black. Agadeem's Awakening. This is the mythic black flip dual face card. X black sorcery. Return from your graveyard to the battlefield any number of target creature cards that have each a different converted mana cost X or less. This one is comes into play tapped unless you pay 3 life, the black land.
That is very specific.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think this card is good enough for Modern.
Probably neither format, to be honest with you, but it's a card and it's cool.
Yeah, I don't think it's good.
It's definitely a commander card. All right, carry on then. Bloodchief's Thirst is up next. This one we should probably talk about though. Bloodchief's Thirst is 1 black mana for a sorcery with kicker, 2 and a black. Destroy target creature or planeswalker with converted mana cost 2 or less. If this spell is kicked, instead destroy target creature or planeswalker.
So it's 2 black, destroy target creature or planeswalker that is 1 and a black, or just a black, destroy target creature.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a sorcery speed Fatal Push or a sorcery speed Vraska's Contempt, like conditionally.
All right. So, what is the one mana version do again?
1 mana version is destroy target creature or planeswalker with converted mana cost 2 or less. So, if your opponent's got a Tybalt, that's really like getting you down.
Renin 6 would be your guy there.
Right, Renin 6 more likely. But I think that's more just on there for the kicker version because we really don't have too many targets for that. Obviously, Renin 6 is one of them, but.
God, I wish that was 3. I wish that was 3.
Yes, yes.
So Taffrey
would be wonderful.
Oh my god, kill Taffrey and Liliana.
Granted, 2 mana is like pretty like passable for creatures in Modern. I think most of our targets are 2 mana.
Yeah, it is.
Sorcery's tough though. I'm going to pick it in both formats. I like this one just purely based on versatility, but also because of the fact that like it's another card type for like Tarmogoyf and like Delirium decks. I don't know if that really matters. They've got like Thoughtseize and things like that, but as like maybe like one or two of, they've got some versatility when they're looking to do like Traverse stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a good card. What?
I will accept your statement and buy it. Not at all.
Not at all. Oh, you don't like it, huh?
No.
Okay. All right. You cut out for a second there. All right. Coveted prize. Coveted prize is... we can skip this one. Never mind. This is a party card. It's bad. Feed the Swarm. Feed the Swarm is... This one's interesting. Probably just worth mentioning that it exists, though. One in a black for a sorcery. Destroy target creature or enchantment. It's black. In opponent controls. You lose life equal to that permanent's converted mana cost.
I think I'd actually buy this... I can't convince myself. Like, it will see play in 8-rack.
Yeah. It's like, this is notably like the only black enchantment removal in the format. So it's going to see some very narrow sideboard play in mono black decks. But will those decks exist? Who knows? Pioneer has mono black decks.
I mean, is there an enchantment in Pioneer that mono black decks can't beat?
Wilderness Reclamation is an enchantment that gets played an awful lot in Pioneer.
I mean, okay, so I'd buy it. If there are enchantments in Pioneer that are relevant, then this is sideboard removal that should be played in the mono black aggro decks, so I'll buy it.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it too for that reason. Okay, Hagra Mauling. This is a flip card.
This one is close.
2BB for destroy target creature at instant speed. This costs one less to cast if an opponent controls no basic lands. It's a very, very conditional kind of random clause, but it's just like this little upside.
Yeah.
Mostly it's just like removal on a stick.
Not good enough.
No. Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's a little too much.
No.
Okay. Inscription of Ruin. This one's weird. So this is kind of a cycle. There's a blue one we didn't even talk about. 2BB for a sorcery. Kicker, 2BB. Choose one. If this spell was kicked, choose any number instead. It says, target opponent discards 2 cards. Return target creature with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Or destroy target creature with converted mana cost 3 or less.
Not good enough.
Is this not like, like a Jund type of thing? Like...
No.
No?
No, it's pretty terrible.
I pick it for Pioneer. I think it's pretty versatile. I feel like it's kind of like a... I don't know, like Korgon's Command is probably better, right?
Yeah.
And similar. All right.
Yep.
All right, you convince me. With the Form Blight, this one's weird. 1BB for an enchantment aura. It's an uncommon. Enchant land. When it enters battlefield, draw a card. Enchanted land loses all land types and abilities and has tap to add colorless and tap, pay 1 life, add 1 mana of any color. Kind of like a Spreading Seas for a Tron land.
Uh-huh.
Does black need this?
How many mana does this cost?
1BB, 2 mana.
Black would use Rain of Tears or... Full Nair Mage if they're trying to kill non-basics. You could actually use this on your own lands to make them City of Brasses if you need color fixing.
Yeah.
I think this is cute, but I think we have gone away from the time where Spreading Seas was a playable card in Modern.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're really trying to... There's not many like non-basics in Pioneer that you're like, I've got it for that card.
Yeah, so we see Spreading Seas getting played mostly in situations where you can get benefit from it, like with your Island Walker creature. So I don't see like any way to do that here. The pay 1 life, add 1 mana of any color probably isn't super relevant, but the Tron is always hungry for green mana, so they might be able to gain something from that. Fulminator Mage is a good point. I think black decks always have access to that, and they've always got like, you know, Thoughtseize and stuff to pick apart at their hand, so... I don't know that black is really hungry for this kind of effect.
No. Nope.
But is like against Valakut? No, same thing, right?
Yep.
Alright. This next one's cool though. Nighthawk's Scavenger. 1BB for a vampire rogue, it's a rare. It has flying, death touch, and lifelink. Its power is equal to 1 plus the number of card types among cards in your opponent's graveyard, and its toughness is 3.
So this is just way better Vampire Nighthawk.
It is way better Vampire Nighthawk, yeah.
I 100% think this sees play in Pioneer. I don't think this sees play in Modern. Just because it only has three toughness.
Only has three toughness. Death Touch, Lifelink. It's got flying.
It's the three toughness. That's literally the only reason why I don't think it sees play in Modern.
Yeah.
If this had four toughness, this would be like the next big thing.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I think I could probably agree with that. I don't know, man. I think that this definitely sees play in Pioneer, no doubt, right? I think I'll pick it for Modern. I think someone's gonna force it. It's too appealing to not try. I'll pick it for both formats. Okay. Null Priest of Oblivion. We're almost through black here. This one is interesting just because, like, statistically, it is strong without the kicker. One in a black for a 2/1 Menace Lifelink. Vampire Cleric, rare. Okay, like, that seems good enough to me. Kicker, 3 in a black. When it enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, return target creature from your graveyard to the battlefield. And I think that there might be, like, enough vampires added to this set where, like, the vampire deck in Pioneer could make a resurgence. This card, I don't know if it really necessarily belongs in that deck, but I really don't have enough experience with it to know how that looks and what that would look like. You don't like it?
I have no clue. It's like a card I'm interested in.
Menace Lifelink is really strong. The problem with
Menace
these, like,
Lifelink is good.
Yeah, the problem with these little Lifelinker guys is they get blocked and killed so quickly, but the Menace is like... Yeah. I don't know. Like, this could trade with, like, a Goblin Guide, like, thing for a gain. Or it can just start chiseling away your opponent's life total and you can be gaining life. So then the upside is, like, late game. Like, it's huge. It's a big, big ad. I'm going to pick it for Pioneer.
In my book, I was about to say, I think it's good in Pioneer because of, like, you put this in, like, your mono black devotion deck and you kick it and bring back Grey Merchant.
Yeah.
And, like,
do
that as a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at.
All right. Next up, Palaka Predation. 2 in a black for a sorcery. Oh, this one costs 3. I thought it cost 2. 2 in a black for a sorcery. Target opponent reveals their hand. You choose a card with converted mana cost 3 or greater. That player discards that card, and it flips into a tapped black source. I thought it was 1 in a black. I would have liked it a lot better that way.
It's pretty terrible.
Yeah, I thought it was cheaper. If it was 1 in a black, I'd be on this one, but nope.
Yeah, I mean, then it would be Appetite for Brains, and I'd be interested. But, like, that, as it is, pretty bad.
Okay, Scourge of the Skyclaves. This one is a mythic. 1 in a black for a creature demon. XX, kicker 5, 4 in a black. When you cast a spell, if it was kicked, each player loses half their life rounded up. Scourge of the Skyclaves, power and toughness are equal to 20 minus the highest life total among players. It's kind of like a Death Shadow type.
I was about to say, this feels like Death Shadow is like 3 and 4 here, or 5 and 6 here for Modern.
Yeah.
And I think it's playable in both formats, just because we've seen how good, like, using your life as a resource is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the question is, like, can you also, like, deal damage to your opponent? Because, like, it's the highest life total. So, like, if you don't do anything to your opponent and just, like, try and throw this out there, it dies.
Oh,
so, like,
the highest life total. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you're never going to kick it in Modern for 7 mana, right?
No. I've never seen a hard cast Gurmag Angler.
I don't know. This one's weird.
Yeah, I don't think it's good enough. It's just worth noting that it's extra Death Shadows for, like, the mid game, but, like, I don't think it's good enough.
Okay, yeah, I'll pass on that too. I thought it was your own life total, in which case I think it would fill the slots for, like, the Tasigur and Gurmag. Void.
Yeah, absolutely. Really... Oh, no, if it was your own life total, then you would just play... This would be like Death Shadows 5 through 8, and you would just slam it.
Yeah.
No, it's the highest life total.
Okay, then the last one here for black is Soul Shatter. 2 in a black for an instant. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker with the highest converted mana cost among creatures and planeswalkers they control.
I think they'll see playing Pioneer. This 3-mana spell.
This one reminds me of... the Crackling, whatever, the black, red, white Mario one.
Crackling Doom.
And that card was very good. The problem with these, like, these cards that can get the planeswalkers, like, they give them too many options of, like, what they are able to sacrifice, and, like, you don't really get what you want. But the fact that they have to sacrifice the highest converted mana cost, like, you usually get their most valuable tool in this case. And so you can get through a lot of, like, indestructible, hexproof, and, like, deal with some planeswalkers that are really, really pretty awful with this card. And at instant speed, this is pretty strong. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's Pioneer playable, but not Modern.
I think it's both. I'm going to pick it in both formats. It's going to see play as like a one or two of in some Modern decks, I think.
I don't think so. I think Hero's Downfall is strictly better, and we don't see much of it.
You think so?
Yeah. So I'm in Pioneer, not in Modern.
Well, I'll pick it in Modern just to be different.
I have two cards I want to bring up and talk about. The first one is Shadow's Verdict. 3BB sorcery. Exile all creatures and planeswalkers with CMC 3 or less from the battlefield, and all creature and planeswalker cards with CMC 3 or less from all graveyards.
Yeah.
I think this is playable in both formats.
Really?
Yeah. Like, exile removal is big, and it kills problematic planeswalkers.
It does hit planeswalkers, too. Yeah, you're really concerned about Teferi, aren't you?
Teferi, Liliana, Red and Six, like... There are many good 3-mana planeswalkers in Pioneer.
Yeah.
Or in Modern.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think this is good enough to see play in both formats.
Okay.
I definitely think you'll see play in Pioneer, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it sees play in Modern.
Okay. Yeah, the graveyard removal is, I guess this is pretty unique. Like, there, it's not very often that you get a Wrath that also exiles the graveyard, so.
Yeah. Big upside there.
You know, this does kill Dredge really good.
Yeah, gets rid of Stinkweed Imp, gets rid of Golgari Thug. Yeah.
This,
They get to keep life in the loam. But, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll keep to my guns here, and I'll keep it off my list. It is interesting. Okay, what's the other one?
Acquisitions Expert. This, I think, is the best party card.
Okay, tell me about it.
Hold on, my phone freaked out and I can't see it. Oh. All right, 1BB for a 1/2 human rogue. When it enters the battlefield, target opponent reveals a number of cards from their hand equal to the number of cards in your party. Then you choose one of those cards and that player discards it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's an upgrade on Kitesail Freebooter for Modern Humans, because Freebooter lets them get the card back, so they get to give you less options, but like the card is gone forever.
Yeah.
And it is a party, like, it's kind of inherently enabled by party. Like, you just are going to have some random, like a random soldier or whatever, random warrior. It's like, you get two out of this. I'm going to pick it for humans. I don't know. Maybe Freebooters are straight up better because they get to give you a choice. Again, it's the question of, I haven't really looked at the humans deck to figure out how much of it is like, How deep into party can you go?
Okay, let me do that right now. Deep into
party? Yeah, yeah. Tell me how deep into party we can go. Because if we can get to 3 or 4, this card is very good.
Meddling Mage is a wizard.
Yep.
That's it.
We don't...
Reflector Mage is a wizard.
It's all soldiers and not warriors?
Yeah.
All right.
Pirates. Soldiers.
Yeah. I would be replacing the pirate. I thought the soldiers were actually warriors, which then means it's like...
Yeah, Oriok Champion is a cleric in a sideboard.
Sure.
Deputy.
But if like...
There's a lot of wizards.
Is Mantis Rider? Isn't Mantis Rider? It's a knight, isn't it?
Mantis Rider is a monk.
Monk. Oh, that's random. Okay. Yeah. I thought that there was like... I thought that we were deeper into the party. I thought all the soldiers were wizards or were... warriors for some reason, like all he is.
I mean, if you're looking at two cards, you're not getting what you want out of this guy.
Correct. I thought we were getting 3 at least, because I thought for some reason, like, I thought Thalia was not a soldier, it was a warrior, so you get 3 every time.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, like, when you're Phantasmal Imaging and stuff like that, it starts to become like pretty good.
Yeah, with Phantasmal Image, yeah, then you get an additional one because it counts. You know, you can count as the other type, right?
No, I mean, you'd have to have the actual other types. It's just like...
No, because this guy's a human rogue, right? So then you can count the original as a human. You can count the Phantasmal Image as the rogue. and then you can count a wizard.
No, no, it's not. It's not human. It's rogue, warrior, wizard, and
oh, humans are not a part of the party. Okay.
If human was a part of the party, this would be insane.
Yeah, and you'd already have that covered anyway, wouldn't you? Yeah, never mind.
So yeah, okay, I'm off this card. I think this is the best party card.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's all soldiers. I'm recanting my picking of it.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't put you down, so we're good.
Good.
All right, man. We'll hopefully be able to wrap this up next week because there really isn't a lot of gold in this set. Not a ton. Is there any? Maybe there's none. There's some, right?
No, there's Omnath.
There's Omnath. Yeah. So we'll wrap up with gold. Yeah, there's some gold, yeah. And artifact, and got some green and some red to talk about. So I think we can do it in 2 weeks.
Hey, so too.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening.
Later.
Bye.
Modern Metacall is a production of CarnockLife.com, where you can find a selection of MTG content, both written and recorded. Looking for deck primers? We've got them. Interested in videos? Try our CKL Play series, where we take the most interesting decks appearing in published results for a spin through MTGO leagues. We've got a team of talented writers specializing in a variety of formats and archetypes. To keep up with CarnockLife offerings, you can follow us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CarnockLifePodcast. Thanks is due to ManaTraders.com, MTGCast.com, and TheDiscard.com for their support in making this possible, and thank you for listening, commenting, sharing, and reading Card Knock Life content.